Welcome to the Cabin Cast, your getaway primer.
Hey, Eric.
Hello.
How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Good. How are all our listeners out there? Don't you wish we could hear them just scream back? We're good.
Just respond.
We're good.
Everyone's great. It's always fun when my wife laughs at me when I'm doing home chores and then just start laughing at some podcast that I'm listening to like a maniac. And she's like, what's so funny?
I'm
like,
right?
When you really get into podcasts, like I hope some of our listeners do with ours, you start picking up on the inside jokes and the callbacks and some of the things that you get used to. And then you are laughing and then you can't explain it, why it's so funny based on like some sort of past thing that was said or the 20 minute conversation that ends with an extra joke. And then, well, my wife thinks I'm crazier than she already does.
Yeah. It's kind of like becoming a part of the Cabin Cast family. My family has Seinfeld and other movies that we quote to each other all the time.
Yeah.
So we feel kind of sorry for anybody new to the family that doesn't know, like a friend's over and they can't really follow along with what we're saying.
Right.
So it's probably the same for, you know, Cabin Cast listeners drop a line.
Yep.
And their spouse is like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. There's one thing we wanted to give a really quick shout out to. When we used to have a store down in Madison, we used to go to the Lake Holman Cabin Show all the time with our store. And just due to staffing things and how far away, it's been a little more challenging. We've even done the one in Minneapolis. And they've recently changed their name to the Up North Expo. It's this probably a lot of our listeners in the Minnesota and Madison and even Northern Illinois areas have gone to these Lake Holman Cabin shows, but they're coming back up again. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to make it, but we're hoping to next year. And they changed the name to the Up North Expo. What's your up north? Ah, up north. The aroma of balsam fir, the taste of a Friday fish fry, the sounds of a crackling bonfire and a loon's call echoing across the lake. So many reasons we Midwesterners escape to up north with family and friends, whether we make the trek up the highway to a lake home or rent a cozy cabin in a birch grove or a camp under the stars, we seek the same thing, a chance to unplug from the weekly grind. Join them in March for all the new Up North Expo in either Minneapolis or Madison or both to celebrate this unique lifestyle. Connect with companies who embrace the Northwoods, vibe with quality products or services, mingle with a crowd who is as passionate about their weekends up north as you are. So the Minneapolis, Minnesota show is March 1st through the 3rd, and the Madison show is March 15th through the 17th. And I actually think my sister and brother-in-law will be there with their company, Hutch and Hyde, which is this awesome, amazing little gift shop in New Glarus, Wisconsin, if our listeners have been there. And they're going to be there showcasing their reclaimed barnwood cabinets that we manufacture. They sell them. They're awesome. So stop by the Hutch and Hyde booth at the Madison Up North Expo as well.
Yeah, that would be great. And it would be so much fun if we can make it next year and actually meet face to face some of the people that maybe don't make it into the Minocqua area.
Yes.
And into our shops. And I'd love to go too and just learn. I think we could learn a lot of things from the other people that are there. So that would be great ways to connect.
Yeah, they're great shows. So it's a lot about vacations, camping, cabins, gear. They always have good food there. And it's been a great experience before. And I love the new name. It's got kind of a cool loon and tree logo. So good luck to everyone there and hope our listeners can stop by.
Yeah, that would be great. You know, I was thinking about something when we first started talking and we were saying that, you know, listening to the Cabin Cast gives you some inside scoop. And I started laughing to myself and thinking about a new friend that I have that just moved up from Illinois. It was kind of their dream as they entered retirement to move up north. She started listening to the Cabin Cast and then she recommended it to her husband and he travels a lot. So he's like way ahead of her in listening.
Yeah.
So he'll come home and tell her things about me. And she's like, wait, she's my friend. And you know these things and I don't even know them yet. So it's kind of a neat story. And I love that too, that they're both listening and then they can talk about it and share things with us. So well, it's really fun.
She's being pretty gracious. It's not like the watching a TV show together. Podcasts are such a personal thing. It's right. You can listen in the car when you're together.
Yeah.
But I listen to them mostly when I'm, you know, everyone's asleep. I'm doing the dishes or cleaning something at the house or driving on a long drive by myself. But it is funny that he's like ahead in episodes, right? And she's got to catch up, and he's, yeah, that's awesome. No spoilers,
right?
Gotta save the spoilers.
Well, she said he reached out. She reached out to me when we started recording again after the holidays, because he said, wait, what happened? There's not another episode. And she said, I don't know, I'll find out. So she texted me and I said, oh, we're back in the studio.
Yep.
Tell him. So that's how fast he went through them too.
Yeah, that's great.
But it made me also think that there are a lot of new listeners, and we have almost 100.
Yep.
Or by the time this one airs, maybe 100 episodes for people to go back, re-listen to. I mean, even as we talk, Eric, we're like, I think we shared that. Yeah. Like, we need to go back and listen to.
Right, right. And follow up things like articles that we've read that we've shared in right? the past. And then it's a new update. But sometimes they just regurgitate articles. So you have to go back, read the article to see. And then the update's like, yeah, everything's still the same.
It's or just, we can't find the update. Yeah. Like, what ended up happening?
Yeah.
So it made me think that there's some older episodes that would be great for people to pull up and listen. And I was actually reading this little book of poetry and essays from an author that we interviewed way back when we started. It's episode number 30. So this was back when we even had to do so many things over the phone.
Yeah.
Because quarantine was just opening up. So it's one of those first phone interviews. So the sound is not as clear, but the stories in that episode, the inspiration that Kyle White that we talked to shares in that episode, it is really one worth listening to. I remember it as a favorite because of just how inspired I felt after I listened to it. It was called Campfire Smoke in Your Beard, episode 30. And this little book I was reading of his is Winter is Scissors.
Winter is Scissors?
So what do you think that means?
I don't know.
So it's 31 small daily readings for winter. And this is his little intro that explains the title, the foreword. In winter, people say things like, the cold cuts right through you, or that wind cuts to the bone. These 31 small daily readings are an exercise in extending the metaphor that winter cuts. Winter is scissors.
Okay.
I was really enjoying reading these and thought they could bring up some conversation for us. I marked some pages for us to.
Yeah, while you're finding that, I love that metaphor.
Right?
You know, when, like right now, we have this weird weather where it's kind of cold, but it's sort of warm. It's a strange winter that we're having and probably not as cutting as usual. But it has me messing up my winter clothing way too often, because even some during the day, I'll throw on like a hooded sweatshirt and go outside, and the night hits and I realize I never grabbed my jacket, which in a normal winter, I would never forget a jacket. You'd at least throw it in your truck to make sure when it got to nighttime, but you just, it's not quite in your mind of how, when you walk out and that cold kind of zings you pretty good. Mm-hmm. And then you find out really quick when the wind does pick up and it reminds you that, like, yeah, winter's cold and it's blowing through. They're like, oh, this is a, some of the weaves on your clothing will stop the wind better, and some it just blows right through. You might as well be wearing a t-shirt. So it's like, I've had a couple days here where I've totally made complete, like, I dropped the kids off at school and I was just wearing like a button up and it was not a warm one. So I was just freezing when I was getting the kids. And then, you know, other times you have a jacket in the car, you can throw it on, even just a vest, but that totally makes sense.
You're so right. And one of the things I love about living where we do is the change of seasons, because it's the change of closets too.
Mm-hmm.
And I have so many coats, hats, boots, sweaters, you know, all that winter wardrobe that I love to wear. And right now, yeah, I can be comfortable and all that, but you do start thinking, oh, I don't need to throw that on.
Yeah.
And I want to still enjoy all my winter clothes. So, and this kind of fits this reading that you brought up about enjoying the winter. On winter days like this, when you thought it was over, but the forecast calls for more of it, or maybe some things you thought were going to come around are nowhere on the radar, here is what I recommend. Step out into it and feel the weight of it. Go for a walk in the cold, cut a new path in all that snow that is coming or not coming, then do something bigger than you. Read something powerful, make something with your hands, write something, pray out loud, love your neighbor. God, yes, love your neighbor. You could even make a list of vague prescriptions and pronouncements, advising others what to do. Anything but wishing out the window, which just lets in the cold. I loved this because how many times do we sit there in a typical winter when do have bitter cold and long lasting snow on the ground? And we do start wishing out the window that it wasn't cold in winter anymore. And he's like, no, embrace it.
Yeah.
Do something big. That's what I love. It's not even just like, oh, just go for a walk. It's like, use it. Let's do it.
Oh, for sure. I like, it's so mindset ready. This it reminds me of a time in college. We had a college house that was so far away from downtown Whitewater, UW-Whitewater, that you'd have to walk. It feels like 10 blocks in my mind, but maybe it wasn't that far. It was quite a while of a walk to get back. And of course you don't want to drive when you've been out with your buddies all night. So we would have these really long walks back, which were really awesome in the fall and spring. But when you go out in the winter, it was a really cold walk because you wouldn't want to bring your jackets out. That was when a lot of the bars still allowed smoking in the bar. So you wouldn't want to ruin your entire winter outfit and smell like, you know, cigarettes at the time. So I remember one distinct walk where we were walking back and the wind was just whipping through and we were all wearing just way underdressed for that. And I'm like, just pretend it's summer and you're standing in front of the air conditioner and how like it's so nice when it's cold, when you feel like it's too hot and try and switch your mind. And my roommates are probably like, this is not working. I'm like, just switch your mindset. It's all up in your head. You want it to be cold in the summer, pretend it's the summer and you're in front of an air conditioner. And they still give me crap about that sometimes.
Like it's just in your head.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do think about that sometimes. Like, I can get through this. Just think warm thoughts.
Yeah.
Right? Do you ever tell your kids that?
Oh, like, yeah.
Just think warm thoughts.
Yeah, I've been starting to tell my kids we do hard things because they, you know, if it's tying a shoelace or this is hard, I don't want to pick up my little five-year-old. I don't want to pick up all the Legos. It's too hard. Well, we do hard things in this family.
That's right. Pick up those Legos.
Yeah.
Okay, now this one, I'm going to want your feedback.
Okay.
Because it's a debate.
Ooh.
And I want to know what you think. The great debate over how to make the best campfire, teepee or log cabin? The answer is log cabin. End of debate. Get out your hatchet and split some logs about a forearm's length. Layer them three or four high, like a log cabin, crisscross, in the space in between loosely packed twigs, newspaper, bark, and other kindling. Birch bark from downed trees will burn even if wet. I learned that this fall. Next, light the center with a match. Do this in the winter. In the snow, then pull up an Adirondack chair and be present. In the pine smoke and the winter breath, in the foreground heat and the background cold, in the light and in the dark, all crisscrossed, be at home and the lilting embers all around you.
Let's take a quick break.
Hey, it's Kristen. I'm here to tell you about White Arrows Home. White Arrows Home is a lifestyle brand that shares a warm and cozy mix of design ideas, inspirational style, and personal journeys from the backdrop of the Wisconsin Northwoods and my lakeside log cabin home. I love sharing daily inspiration for you on my blog, through social media, and in my shop. At White Arrows Home, you can shop in person in the store, but also online from anywhere. You'll find a mix of antique, vintage, and new furniture, accessories, and gifts carefully curated to fit our brand of classy cabin and cottage decor, campy style, and always a heavy sprinkling of plaids. New products come in the shop daily with decor that will let you bring Northwoods living into your own home and style spaces that are inviting, beautiful, and make family and friends want to linger longer.
Yeah, I think that he's probably right that it's an easier fire to make if you have the right material. Sometimes a teepee is easier if you're limited on the amount of sticks and kindling because you have to get it hot enough to catch the big logs, where a cabin, it sounds like, okay, you got plenty of things to fill the center. But if you have big logs on the outside, you need a lot of fill for the center. So a teepee is easier to start a small fire and build it into a bigger fire and kind of work your way up. But a log cabin, if you have everything laid out perfect, I think is a great way to do it.
Yeah. And a campfire versus a in the fireplace fire.
Yep.
When you have less space, you can use the log cabin. So I think that's an interesting debate. I'd love to know what other people were thinking on. Is it a teepee or log cabin that works best? Right. I mean, it's probably a debate you have often with your friends.
Yeah. Well, it
comes up often.
Yeah. I think sometimes the guys, it's funny. It's like whoever gets the fire going. And then if they start struggling, then it's like the other dads are throwing in their opinion and trying to help out. But my boys are getting to the age where I'm starting to teach them how to light a proper campfire and just getting, I think I'm more of, I've done a teepee more often, but I think a log cabin is a great way to do it too.
I have to say that I can light a fire, but I may light one like once a year.
Yeah.
It's one of those sweet ways that, I feel loved at my house is that Brian always gets the fire going, or if he's leaving, he'll tell one of my boys, make sure there's a fire for mom. So I just let myself get a little spoiled and let them,
that's nice.
Them do it.
And I think that, I mean, if guys are like me, I love getting a good fire going, and there's a sense of satisfaction for exactly what you're talking about. You feel like a provider a little bit. That's a good way to do it.
Well, and I love his writing because it's practical, and then it turns into something more meaningful and deep. Like at the end of this one that I read, be present, make the fire, do it even in the winter, and then be present in that moment. Feel all the, you know, the winter breath and smell the pine smoke, and then be at home with what's around you. And I think that's, you can get so caught up in building the fire and getting it going, and then it's like, wait, but we're doing this so we can
relax
here and either think about things by ourselves by the fire and let it be quiet, or just have fun together. So I loved that one. So this one is a little short one about ice fishing.
All right.
And this one is one of my favorite ones we ever recorded because it was our first on location episode. It was ice fishing episode number 58, Walleyes on the Rocks. And we went to your little cabin by the water with your buddies. And you guys were ice fishing, and I got to come in for the old fashions.
right.
So it worked out really well for me. But God, you even have great photos from that day.
Yep.
Like you guys had great success fishing. And another episode I just highly recommend listening to and that we'll reference back to. But here is his little, I think it's a haiku. Cut hole in lake ice, plunk line in void, wait, freeze, curse. Eat fish, fry at bar.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah. So I love too that his little small book of writings shows different styles, different kinds of poetry, just free thought, different things like that. So that's inspiring.
Yeah, that's a great coffee table book just for your guests to pull up and just have a quick meditation.
Or as your family pod does, read over dinner.
Yeah.
You know, read one reading a night.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a good way to do it.
So I loved that. Do you remember what was your favorite memory of that episode of the Walleyes?
I just think that just the setting, where we were at and just being able to record and then, you know, run out when a tip up would go up and capture that. We still haven't gotten that little cottage is unfinished still. So we're working on probably going to do the tear out on it this spring and work through it, which I hope to share with everybody. But, you know, life changes priorities on you all the time. So it's hard to, and I think I mentioned this in the last podcast. I met with the previous owner of our house. I saw him out at a Northwood sporting event, and he hey, did you ever get that cabin remodeled? And I said, no, we haven't gotten around to it yet. And then his friend slapped him on the shoulder and said, hey, that's what you always used to say. Like, you always said you were going to get this little cottage redone, and then, you know, he lived there all these years and never did it. And I said, hey, to be fair, I did replace the roof already. We're drawing up plans and we've been going through stuff and getting it figured out. But it's always fun to share that time on the lake. And hopefully the lack of moisture doesn't affect our lake too much because it can rise and fall. And I think it's trending downwards right now.
So. Right. Well, and I think some people love to go fish to get away from things.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's fun to do it like you did right off the back of your property because the kids can come check in.
Yep.
And you can run up and get a sandwich. Like,
yes.
It's, I like it that way when, you know, my family stays kind of close with what they're doing so we can peek in on it. But some people like it as a getaway, get quiet. So, yep. Go back and listen to episode 58 and episode 30 and then pull out a journal or your notes on your phone and start writing a little bit about just the day-to-day things like the weather and let your thoughts flow. So then send us the work.
Yes.
And then we'll read it on the air.
We'll read it on the air.
So yeah, I love that. I found an article too that I want to share with you. I love stacking up all these things to share with you and our listeners. I started thinking the other day about names of towns and that some of them are weird.
Oh, right.
Like, would you live in, I mean, some of the towns I'm like, I would not live in that town.
Right.
Because it's just either a negative sounding word or just like, I don't want to have to say that all the time when I have to give my address.
Sure.
To
it's like a town like Dead Horse Creek or something. You're like, oh,
like what good could happen in Dead Horse Creek? For sure. So I was kind of Googling to see like, what are some weird names? And this article came up from Babbel.com. Have you ever gotten the app Babbel to learn the language?
I have not.
Or Duolingo or any of those.
Right. Right. No, I'm not notoriously good at the second language thing, but
I'm not either. I appreciate put them on my phone, but I'm not good at
staying up with it,
even though they make it so easy. I do have a couple of my children that are very gifted in languages. I have a daughter that lives in Germany, and when she calls me with the kids that she nannies for, she's an au pair. It's one of my favorite things in the whole world to listen to her just babbling in German with the kids.
Yeah.
I'm like, who are you? It's amazing. I'm just in awe of people that it is a gift for. And I'm thankful for these apps that can help people that do need to learn quicker and in easy ways. Babbel.com had this article. And what's interesting about it to me is it's written by an Italian and their take on some names in America. So this is the 35 weirdest American city names.
From an Italian's point of view.
Yep. And so it was written in May of 2023. So, you know, just less than a year ago. We'll link this in the show notes because I don't know if I'll go through all 35 and then everybody can read it on their own and reference it to share. But here's what it says. It's Federico Prandi. I probably didn't get out the pronunciation exactly right. Do you want to try it?
That's the writer's name? Mm-hmm. Federico?
Yeah.
Prandi?
Uh-huh. This is kind of funny. This is way side note, but when my youngest is Brooks Anthony.
Okay.
That's his name.
Yeah.
And when he was baptized when he was a baby, the priest goes, Brooks Anthony. Did like this whole little, like, I can't roll my R's, but he rolled it. It was like forever we would pronounce his name that way. It was so cute. It's easy to overlook strange place names once you get used to them. But as an Italian, I'm shocked that people in the U.S. actually live in cities and towns with names like these. Now, when I first heard that intro, I thought, oh, these names are probably scandalous.
Right.
Like, can I even read this article?
Yeah, or they're words in Italian that are improper.
Yeah. But then as I started reading, I'm like, oh, no, this is just funny. So he says, you know that thing where you repeat a word so many times that it loses its meaning? It made me realize that our lives are full of words that aren't really words anymore, but often faces, places, or memories. For example, the fact that my childhood best friend is called Luna, moon in Italian, doesn't impress me much, even though the only other Luna I know is from Harry Potter. I also don't burst into laughter every time I visit my friend's house that means furry alley, or act shocked when my mother tells me she's picking up groceries in a town that just has a weird name in Italian. But the weirdest city names become everyday vocabulary when you have them on speed dial. This is also why I can't blame distracted Americans for living their lives in certain towns and cities while ignoring that they have very silly names. All I'm going to do is list some of my favorites among the weirdest city names in the U.S. Bangs, Texas.
Bangs.
My theory. So this is where it gets funny. He gives a theory of how the town gets its name.
Okay.
All 1,603 inhabitants of this Texas town are obligated by city law to wear a fringe of hair on their foreheads, regardless of their gender or degree of sympathy for Zoe Deschanel. Furry animals are not exempt. The boring reality? The town was named after Samuel Bangs, a printer during the Texas Revolution who was awarded the land that later took his name.
Bangs, Texas. Everybody, it's like they walk in and they're like, okay, it's right to the barbershop for you.
Which I did show my kids a picture of myself, my senior of high school, in 1992 bangs. I didn't have the big, big bangs. Yeah. Most of my classmates
They fluff
did,
them out, right?
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, that was when I would roll the top part back and the bottom part down. And yeah. Soda Springs, Idaho. His theory. The town was founded by junk food extremists who somehow managed to replace all natural water sources with Coke Springs, Pepsi waterfalls, and Mountain View ponds. The boring reality. The name came from the presence of many carbonated water springs in the area surrounding the town.
Yeah.
Bluff, Alaska. So like we hear this and we're like, these aren't that weird.
They're just normal.
But to someone who's from not here. Although the origin of this town's name remains unknown, my instinct tells me you don't want to play poker against its inhabitants, who I assume are called bluffers. This one's kind of interesting. Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. Have you ever heard of that place?
It rings a bell, but it's probably just from some sort of book reference.
Yeah, I have never.
Truth and Consequence, New Mexico.
I mean, my gosh, can you imagine coming up, sitting around a table, trying to think of a name? Yeah.
I would imagine it's like some sort of Puritan preacher named it after some sort of
Footloose.
Footloose, some sort of new.
In 1950, popular NBC radio host Ralph Edwards challenged American cities to rename themselves after his quiz show. Hot Spring, New Mexico promptly accepted the challenge and became Truth or Consequences.
No.
This means that any American citizen could wake up tomorrow and be a resident of Game of Thrones or the Big Bang Theory. Sleep well, America. The weirdest city names have yet to air.
Wait, so is that his idea of what happened or actually happened?
That's what actually happened.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that one, the radio host
had to
host challenged a town to rename it after. Oh,
fun. Truth or Consequence.
Do you want to throw that challenge out there to name?
Yeah, rename your town, everyone.
Yeah, Torgerson.
The Torgerson town. Yeah, that. Yeah.
Cabin Cast. Can we have a Cabin Cast town, please? Fries, Virginia. His theory. At some point during the 19th century, children took over the local government and banished all vegetables in favor of an all French fry diet. The boring reality, the town was named after Colonial Francis Fries, a cotton mill owner who played a key role in the town's establishment. So it just goes on and on with the different, like, his theory for the weird town and then what really happened. But I love the twist on it of, like, first let's just make up what we think happened.
Right.
And then let's find out the truth.
Yeah. I think the same way about that for Italian noodles, right? You have, like, these beautiful Italian names, ravioli and mostaccioli and rigatoni and lasagna and all these things. And then somehow the Americans are like, and then there's angel hair. And you're like, wait, who named these? Like, all these Italian guys coming up with these names, and then their buddy Steve is there. Like, Steve, you name that one. He's like, angel hair. And then,
see,
yeah. Yeah, and they're like, what do you mean angel hair? Steve, what do you think an angel's hair looks like? Like wet noodles?
Right?
Like what? It's just like, what kind of angel are we talking about here? We're like, that's obviously, you know, lasagna, rigatoni, mostaccioli, angel hair.
Yes.
It's like, what? Why are pastas named like that?
I think you're exactly right when we hear it from the other way.
Yeah.
And thinking of the story makes it so much fun. Have you ever, I don't know if you've done this with your kids yet, but like maybe you're sitting in the airport and you see people walk by or you see people at a different table and you're like, let's make up a story of their life. Oh,
what they're saying and doing?
Yeah, what's their life?
That's super funny.
Yeah, like you're waiting for your food at a table and you're like, oh, look at those people over there. What do you think their story is?
Oh, sure.
Like he's a lumber baron from, you know, Alaska and he had to come back here for, you know, like just get creative and think of what the story is.
Oh, that's super fun.
And then you could find out what it really is. Like, no, they just live down the street here every Thursday. Yeah.
They're both on a business trip and they're miserable.
So we'll link it this, like I said, and you can read about all the different towns. And maybe one of you lives in these towns and then you can see what he thought of because they're pretty funny and there's all different states in here. So we will link that.
All right. One of the songs I think we may have done before was a cover of a song called Jersey Giant. And Jersey Giant is a Tyler Childress song. And I love the reference to this because a Jersey Giant is a kind of chicken. And there's a saying, harder than getting socks on a Jersey Giant. Like it's like herding cats, like trying to get socks on a chicken. So somehow he changed the lyrics to this to hotter than the socks on a Jersey Giant, which I still... trying to understand the tie-in, but it's a really wonderful song. And there's a singer named Ella King who, if a lot of you remember, sang X's and O's, that song that was really popular.
Yep.
And she just came out with a new album called Come Get Your Wife, which I just, so I love the idea of that whole entire thing. And she did a cover of Jersey Giant. That's really fantastic, and we thought everyone would enjoy. So this is a single from 2022 for Jersey Giant, which is a cover of a Tyler Childress song.
Come summers, playing till my fingers bled. You'd sing songs and I'd sing with you. We'd get drunk and go to bed.
So I love the lyric, Lord, I thought you hung the moon. It's just such a cool way to think about somebody where you're just like, they couldn't do anything more. They're so amazing. Like, I thought they hung the moon is an older kind of reference, but pretty cool.
Well, and I don't know if you noticed, I'm over here like bopping my head and tapping I mean, it's a song that I'm like, I don't want this to end. It feels, the beat of it, it just feels good. And so I love that.
Tyler Childress, original singer, I mentioned that. Josiah and the Bonnevilles, which is really cool because he's just one singer, but he's Josiah and the Bonnevilles are his fans. So he sings a really great version of Jersey Giant. And then, of course, Ella King does as well, too.
That's a great one to share.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for following along with us. Enjoy your week ahead, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of The Cabin Cast. You can find details and more information in the show notes on our website at www.thecabincast.com. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen so you won't miss a single episode. Follow us on your favorite social media channels. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at The Cabin Cast. We'd also love to hear from you. We want to hear your getaway and cabin stories. For a chance to have your story featured on an upcoming episode, email us at getaway@thecabincast.com. Until next week, enjoy the journey.